Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Just myself and my guest today. Jim is in San Francisco, if I believe. He was called down to receive some awards, I believe, from the Republican Party, and so he's been out of pocket, as they say, for since I believe it was last Tuesday. Jim will certainly be back with us next week, though. You know, it's funny, when a guy like McKinney is not around, you really realize the value that he has to a show like this one. Like to get some of you bloggers, by the way. I know you're pretty opinionated. Like to get your opinion on that. Kind of pinch hitting right now for Jim is my friend Jeff Deist. Jeff is very much a conservative. He is now the general concept for a concept. What's the general concept? I don't understand that at all. I think I'm really going crazy. General counsel for a private company called Monetary Metals. Wonderful to have you back, Jeff. Thank you so much for taking some time.
Yeah, Al, it's good to hear your voice. It's been a while since I have been on the show.
Well, it's good to hear your voice. For any of you new listeners, Jeff and I have been friends for an awful long time. We have known each other since, if I'm not mistaken, 2004, when I had the fortunate experience of spending some time in Washington, D.C., with Jeff, who was the chief of staff, for lack of better terms, for Ron Paul. So I had the opportunity to spend quite a bit of time with Ron. Great, great guy. I really admire him. And what can I say? I think I cut my teeth on his politics. He is really, really good. Jeff, let's talk a little bit about what your role is with Monetary Metals.
Well, so we do gold and silver and platinum leases and bonds around the world. So we have relationships with refineries, with industrial users, with jewelry manufacturers, anybody who needs a supply of physical metals. And so what we do is we go out in the market and try to obtain physical metals from clients. They open accounts with us.
Yeah.
And then we try to use those physical metals to finance actual productive businesses. So the idea is to, in effect, bring back a gold monetary standard, not in the broad sense or in the governmental sense, but in a narrow sense, and let people use gold and silver as money to finance projects, and let them get paid interest in physical metals. So, you know, there's a couple hundred thousand tons of gold, for example, out there all around the world in central banks and otherwise just sitting around. And it's not official money anymore because governments have created legal tender laws and fiat currencies, but it still has monetary uses and monetary value. So we're trying to pull some of that value out of all this physical metal that otherwise, Al, is just sitting in vaults or in storage, and people are paying insurance and storage fees when they could be earning on that gold or silver.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. You know, Doug Casey, a guy who I used to pal around with quite a bit, have not seen him, unfortunately, for probably 10 or 15 years when I left the speaker circuit at the various financial conferences around the world, just sent me an article. Actually, I was sent an article by Doug talking about real money, true money. And it's a very, very interesting article. He relates it very effectively to what's going on in the United States right now. The United States right now, really, we have money. Sure, we have currency, but what's it backed by? It's backed by absolutely nothing. All the governments around the world know that, and all of the big players in the financial community know that. And I think that is one of the reasons that we are perhaps a little bit less respected in the world than we were maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, even though we were not on a gold standard 10 or 15 years ago. Richard Nixon took care of that. But if you want a really, really interesting treatise on gold and the true value of money, on the blog or any place, any way you want to contact me, and I'll be more than happy to send you reprints of this article by Doug Casey. Very, very good. Jeff, do you mind if we switch topics and talk a little bit and get away from precious metals and talk a little bit about the United States and you know, kind of stress, I suppose, why we really need to be on a gold standard?
Well, look, the dollar's out of control. The whole world knows it. It's a little more under control than other currencies, like the euro or the yuan, for example. But ultimately, the world knows that the U.S. government is never going to get its house in order, its spending versus what it brings in taxes.
Right.
And so we're going to abuse our status as the world's reserve currency. The question is how long the world will let us get away with that. They've let us get away with that since at least the 70s.
Yeah.
So, you know, the short answer could be it might be quite a long time. But nonetheless, at some point, just issuing more money and then piggybacking more credit on and more debt on top of that doesn't create any new goods or services, doesn't make us wealthier, doesn't make our economy more productive. So I think the world is starting to take notice of this, and that's why I think we see central banks talking about digital currencies. I think that's why we see the IMF talking about potentially stepping in case of a crisis. So it's definitely a frightening time, and it feels at least like 2008 to me.
Well, 2008 was not a good year for the U.S. of A. And I got to tell you, going to be talking about this later on in the week on other segments of the show. I really wonder if America is going to somehow get out of the problem that it's in right now. I am truly concerned that it will not, but I guess we'll see later. Jeff, let me ask you this question again in a political sense. Give me some thoughts. We're down to about 2 minutes here until we break for another segment. Give me some thoughts on your feelings right now about the environment that America is operating in, would you?
Well, there's a big difference. We mentioned 2008. In 2008, a lot of people got hurt in housing. A lot of people got hurt in stocks and bonds. But nonetheless, you could at least go into cash.
Right.
And if you were smart and lucky or some combination, you went into cash before the crash. But even if you got hurt in the crash, you could go into cash. And inflation was, although higher than they admitted, it was pretty low. And banks were holding their own. Today, in 2023, you can't just go into cash because real inflation is at least 8%, if not 10%, in price inflation, I should say, and banks are shaky. I mean, your local bank may have a bunch of treasury debt that's upside down because it's issued at older rates, you know, well below 2%, whereas new treasuries are paying for, you know, almost 4.75 or 5. So, you know, your local bank could be insolvent. So unlike 2008, you can't just flee into cash and sort of wait for the storm to pass. You know, we're in a different environment, an inflationary environment. I think that's going to last for the next decade, and I think that's going to really profoundly change life for Americans. I think, you know, anybody under about 40, maybe even 50 years of age is never going to have seen anything like it.
I want to talk a little bit about that, Jeff, in the next segment, but right now, unfortunately, we've got a quick attack. How do you quick a tank? I don't know. But anyway, that, as it shows, I'm getting old making comments like that. We're going to take a really quick break for a commercial, and then I'll be right back with Jeff Dice, General Counsel of Monetary Metals, and we'll continue this discussion. Stick around.